Hello, everyone. Welcome to the May 28th, 2026 meeting of the Emergency Preparedness Committee. Let us do roll. Director Paul.
Here.
Director Spath is absent. Director Watson.
Here.
And myself, I'm here. Kay Blunt.
Here.
Katie Gluck.
Here.
Annette McCoubrey is online. Do
Here.
you need to approve Annette or we're good?
No, we're good. I'm
Palmer.
here.
And Laura. And online are our consultants, Mary Morris Mayorga, Rachel Jackson is here with us, and Johnny is online as well. And I'm thinking anyone, I don't think so. Okay, so public comment. And public comment, anybody? Let's see, online, not seeing, I don't see any hand raised. So that, okay, there's more people joined. Okay, all you.
So I have something. There are three items to get us off track. First one is I'd just like to know if anybody knows or the directors the exact statuses of this business of getting keys secured to neighbors around the Golden the Sunset View Cemetery. I think that is really important. I know I went over there the other day myself. I realized there's some pedestrian entrance and a pair of bolt cutters that easily cut what appears to be a quarter inch shank over the lock. It's not a big heavy duty thing. But do we really want to go with that or count on it? As an emergency backup, a pair of bolt cutters in the hands of two or three nearby people or the police are it's fun, but I don't like the idea at all of that being the primary mechanism to open that gate hurry to allow traffic through the sunset, which the other does redo as of about 3 years ago. Nicely, I mean, without any of hate to invent any fussing around at that gate. I mean, I think I don't know where is it? I thought somebody was at a random was going to look into it. I don't know.
That was
Yeah,
my
just
understanding, but Mary?
yeah. So my understanding is, and I'm not sure if he's had successful contact with them, but the plan was to try to put in place some type of MOU for purposes of having keys or an agreement to keys. So I'm not sure where the status of that is, but I'll follow up and we'll report next meeting,
Okay.
unless we can report sooner.
Thank you, Mary. That's very nice.
Sure.
She's going to follow up on that.
Okay,
Yeah.
3% of that 2010 actually traffic
Yeah.
from that report in 2018 could actually end up going through there. You don't want even a minute's hesitation. That needs to be cut right away. Or open, I should say.
Nine keys distributed.
Yeah, but we don't know where they are.
Yeah, I mean, I know where two of the keys are.
Here.
First deputy.
Peter, doesn't Peter have Peter Liddell?
Yeah, I
You
mean,
still have it?
I haven't in his argument.
See, I mean,
Chris Debbie had one.
does he take responsibility?
I don't
You
know.
had two other things.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's awesome. All right. Secondly, I just want to mention that I'm in the process of doing an annual test with a service that I mentioned here before called PhoneBite. And that's where I can make a mass message, record it, and send it out to a very large number of people. As it stands, I'm just doing it for North South Lake Drive. So I decide there's an emergency. There are three of us that can do it, two people to back me up, or to call, and you push a button, and you have something called a phone book, which is basically a list that you've submitted to the company. That says, I want this message to go to all these people. You can do thousands. Now, I'm only doing 60, but it goes out almost right away. There are possibilities that it won't work. The phone lines get jammed during an emergency, and all bets are off. But it's a system that isn't widely used, which I really like. We test it every year, and we're going to be doing it this tomorrow. And then warning people that they'll get the call and that it's just a test, and then it'll happen again, the actual test message. Something. I just wanted, if anybody's interested, I'd give you more information. It's called PhoneBite, and the email address for it that explains everything is phonebite.com. And it costs all of a nickel off. Now that's a nickel for every person that gets the message. So if I send it to 67 people, it's about $2.50. 50.
Yeah. Where do you see us incorporating that in the, either some of the groups like for evacuation or
I don't know. I think I just want to let people know it's there if they want to add to it. Like, I mean, John wants to, he knows about it,
yeah.
but maybe incorporate it as a backup system for fire-wise emergency communications or for anything. Like, it doesn't have to be an emergency. I'm just using it for that.
Yeah.
It's used by large corporations to get messages out right away to people.
And number three.
No, I do remember. Number three is touchy, I think. I've talked to you about this before, and it's back to my mind. Yeah. I still don't think there is in place, and if I'm wrong, that'd be great. I'd love to be wrong. It's an emergency, and that's a key word, an emergency evacuation procedure for the Kensington Elementary School. I don't mean the closure of the school on red flag days. That we have sold out during the meeting with the chiefs. It's clear now what they're going to do. It wasn't before. And now it is, but I got sort of a no answer on that. It was a negative answer. What would you do, making this up, if in a scenario where some jerk gets down in the canyon below the school on a fairly windy day with the winds coming out of the northeast and it ignites a fire and it gets up into that playground area in 15 minutes, which is not impossible at all. Very dry stuff down there, the area everybody worries about. What are you going to do then? You don't have time to re-evacuate because it's a red flag day. And I heard one of the chiefs say, there's no way we can evacuate the school like that. And I say, you better try. I can't believe that is where it stops. We talked about it before. Just, I don't have any great ideas. I don't think they're. Can be a great idea how to get these kids out of there. But you're talking about 500 people, 450 of them being kids. What is it, to the up to the sixth grade, right?
Yeah, it's TK through
And
right.
you have a staff of 40 to 50, so roughly 500. And what are you going to do? Just write them off? I'm sorry, this is the biggest concentration of humanity in Kensington on any given school day. During the week. And so I'm going to just throw one more thing that's related to this. I mean, a good start, but I'm sure there's a better idea. But I was envisioning they have to drill for this. They just have to have a drill. And maybe there is something in place that I just don't know about. I couldn't find it though. That they decide there's an emergency, some jerk has ignited a fire, it's coming up the hill, they have to do something right away. And they drill to go out on that tarmac, the cement area next to the school. Get in groups that are reassigned, maybe by grade, I don't know. That's not up to me. And they get out there, and then they're surrounded by the staff, 50 adults, who again have trained for this. They surround them, much like destroyers surround an aircraft carrier during a combat mission. I mean, they do that sort of thing. And you protect the kids and you march them down the hill. I know that sounds simple, and I know it's not. But there's
Yeah.
got to be something rather than
Well, before we go into solutions to
yeah.
this problem, I think we need to understand, well, what's the relationship between the school and the fire district? Because I think a lot of this has to come from the school, right? Like,
Exactly.
if there's going to be a plan, it's going to be the school's plan.
Yeah.
And I get it that we have, we feel responsibility. And it really even does affect us because their evacuation will have an impact on the rest of the community. So I understand that like our police, our fire district should be really paying attention to this. But I think the first step is to really, I know there's been some contact with the school, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, she had stay
For
on
really fine days
yeah,
now.
so when he came in then how Dave were coming he basically said that when he went to the school on his own, they all conversation with me, it's not his decision, it's all about the school. And so he was giving them ideas but he's not able to enforce them. I mean, the school district, maybe you're right about that.
Okay.
And I can tell you
that. Maybe that.
Maybe we need to be going to school district meetings and giving public comment there.
Yeah.
So I can tell you that basically you need them. Is that the fire marshal and the chief have had discussions with the principal, and part of that was, you know, closing school on those extreme red flag days. But the other part is it's going to be the call of whoever is incident command. And considering that the logistics of moving that many children, it's our goal is to really fire harden the school as best as possible. And so it could be ended up being a temporary refuge area. You just don't know, but that's going to be the call. And that is in part going to be called by the incident command for fire, but also the school district should, or the school needs to actually prepare for something like that. But it's been discussed. In terms of a formal evacuation plan, I have not seen one, but, you know, I hate to say this, but baby steps. First was the closure on the really extreme fire days. The next is this topic. At best, I think what I can do is just give you updates. We're coming to the end of the school year. I am in the process of refilling all of our emergency preparedness stuff for the school. And basically I can start, you know, getting back in touch with the principal and discussing those types of issues with her probably. I mean, this coming year, we're not going to have anything in place, but and I can start getting people into those conversations, but it's going to take time.
Have there been there in the summer?
No. Well, actually, I take that back. There is a neighborhood school. I don't know if it's going to be back this summer, but that is not actually, they rent from the district. They're not related. They're not as part of the district.
Okay.
So neighborhood school has been there for a long time.
Yes.
And that has hurt.
Yeah.
I think Wagner made an excellent point
mm-hmm.
about being more having bringing it to the school board.
Yeah.
You know, people don't have to deal with things if they say they don't know about it or they weren't informed. This way they're informed. Hey, there it is, it's in your face.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
not going away. You deal with it. We're listening, we're watching. Our children, our safety of our children is in your hands.
Yeah. Well, also, they're taking away our music program. I'm not happy about that. So, if you want to go and talk about that too, please do. Annette, go ahead, real quick.
I was going to suggest that the building, you know, has anybody really looked at whether the school is appropriate for shelter in place in the instance that Paul raises? And what would it take to make that building safe to shelter in place?
It's outside of our jurisdiction. Like, why?
It really is. It is, except.
It's not, this committee is going to be spinning its wheels.
Okay.
One thing you could do is, as a committee, or just as individuals, the school does not have a fire retardant system. Like, they don't have sprinklers.
It's
not at the code.
Yeah.
Yes, we can push them,
yeah.
But it's going to be up to them.
Jim, go ahead.
So we push. Yeah, well, actually, I think this is probably a meeting for the full board, a discussion for the full board. But I think it is probably the number one thing that we should be talking about right now. Because I think where Paul's going with this is, suppose that this fire occurs on a non-red flag day and the kids are in school. I think mm-hmm. that it's very possible. Yes, it could come up in 15 minutes. I think it's possible to probably get the kids out of the school, down the hill, into the big field here. What I'm concerned about is the fire trucks will not be able to get in and put out that fire coming up the hill heading towards Kensington Hilltop School. And I don't know how important you think Kensington Hilltop School is to us living in Kensington, but it's an extremely important thing. It's a lot of reasons why people come here. That school is critically important.
Yes.
And we need to have a system. One of those systems is to bring those fire trucks up this back road here, something that I've been working on. Because those fire trucks are going to try to get up when kids and parents are trying to come in and get their kids on the street you live on
Yeah.
to get it.
Well, I'm
So,
going to
my,
have a TK there too.
yeah, so.
But something to consider too is that, and then we've got to go move on to our agenda because we do have quite a bit to do. But the chief said that basically, if a fire starts in Tilden, it's a state responsibility area. So that's going to be, so they're going to be dispatched. They're going to be doing the response. And then El Cerrito has a different part in that too.
My only point is that we have no plan for that sort of situation.
Yeah.
And if we're going to put that obligation on the school, I think we can forget about it. We have to be involved.
You have 450 kids there. I assume that means approximately 450 sets of parents. So
I know.
I don't have any complaints. I'm just talking about one thing. But I can't believe it's going to be left with shrugged shoulders that it has
We're not.
to be.
We're not. We're not going to be rearchitecting the school, right?
We
Not, we don't have a budget for that. It's not our responsibility.
can push whoever
Right.
has
So I'm all for
first set.
communicating about this, but we have to understand what our levers are and what they are.
Yeah, so if you want, maybe we can make that as an agenda item for next month.
Here
To
or
talk
the board.
off with the EPC to discuss it. I mean, there's no point in, we should be discussing it first before we send it to the board because, I mean, really, we need to understand what
Okay,
where
next month for sure.
that way
Yeah.
we can flesh this out.
Thoughts. I mean, that it has to be, yeah, next month. And give it a sense of urgency before you sort of like change.
The agenda
Should
item.
be.
Okay. All right, getting okay. Public comment, are we done? I think. Okay, public comment closed. Consent items, minutes. Do I have a
I move that we adopt the minutes from last. This is a special.
yeah, it's a special meeting.
I move that we accept the minutes as is from the special meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Oh, wait, we have to do roll
Nine.
call because Annette.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
Okay, roll call. Director Paul.
Aye.
Spouth is absent. Director Watts.
Aye.
Director Dugo. Aye. Kay Blonds.
Aye.
Katie Gluck.
Aye.
Annette McCoubrey.
Aye.
Paul Moss. Laura Westphal.
Aye.
Okay, passes. Okay, old business, none. New business. Okay, status update on the work plan progress. Okay, so this is Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny's going to be here to present updates on the work plan progress so that we have everyone on the committee as well as public up to date on what's going on. And he's got a couple of attachments to go along with it.
Hello. Bear with me just one moment while I try to get my document that I just accidentally closed. So can you give me the first one on there so I can at least start talking about it while I put this stuff up.
The first goal or
Yeah.
the red flag day parking.
Red flag day parking. I think the general manager
Yeah, he's
should
got that one.
provide
So,
an update
yeah.
on that one when he gets
And
back.
I think he's
Okay.
still taking something through the board. So, the second one was the grants, which we're already in progress on, unless you wanted to provide an update on where they are.
Yes. So
Okay.
the Kensington Hazardous Vegetation Removal Grant, the application deadline is on the 31st, and I'm still moving through site visits, and there's kind of a steady stream of stuff still coming in at the last minute. People trying to get it in at the last minute. So there's been a lot of touch points, a lot more handholding, moving through the process around on this round. And a lot of education and outreach has to do with kind of combining concepts of like what FireWise is, what the vegetation grant is, what Zone Zero is. So there's a lot of the touch points are being made in person, and kind of moving, navigating around a lot of these topics that we're facing. So the residents are appreciative of these programs, and I think we're making a really big impact. So the KEEP program, Kensington Edinburgh Exclusion Program, I just received some test prototypes of the product yesterday, because we're, and I don't think everyone is aware of this, but this is not only just a pilot for us, it's a pilot for wildfire defense mesh, and trying to figure out what sizes we need and trying to see if we can do framed outside of their scope of their standard sizes is it's a test. We're moving through that, and I have some test sizes that just received that I received yesterday. So I'll be going around to some of our test houses to see how that's working, because the sizes are different than their standard size, and there's a lot of differences on every single house. Some of the mesh is recessed, some of it is flush with the wall. We have a lot of stucco, a lot of the older mesh that was installed before stucco was done. So there, even vents that are next to each other on the same house are different sizes on the lower part of the house. So when I say there's a lot of differences, that's an understatement on every single property across the community. So it's keeping me on my toes, and there's more information to come. What's the next one?
Oh, wait, I have a question on that one.
Yes.
Do you see any? I know everything is different and nothing's of standard size in this community. Do you see at least some grouping of typical size, atypical sizes, or is it really just everything is a different size?
It is a little bit of a, there's some typical sizes when you have it, depending on when the house was built. But even when there was a house, if you take two houses that were built in the 40s, there will be variations because there were renovations done or something was done that created a difference somewhere. So you may have like three that are the same, and then there's an oddball thrown in there. So
Okay. I was
Well, so
wondering.
what it's more different than there are alike. I will just say that.
Okay.
I think the most common situation is that there's not a lot of roof vents, like the upper vents. Mostly I'm dealing with foundation, which is great. I think there were concerns when we launched this program that everyone's going to be up on ladders. There are more cases that this is mostly foundation, and that was kind of a shock to me.
That's a good shock.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Okay,
Right.
that's great to know. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Also, I like
And
that your graphs of the percentages hiring people versus doing it themselves and undecided, and that's excellent. And was I'm pleasantly surprised that it's almost even for the 16th inch mesh versus the 8th inch mesh. Because, I figured we'd be, getting more eighth inch mesh requests for eighth inch rather than 16th, but that's great.
right. Yeah. It's cool to see that data point.
Yeah, see that.
Okay, so the next thing on the list is increased coordination and awareness of vegetation removal programs through FireWise Leads. So that's working in the background. There's a lot of the FireWise Leads are in touch with their community and sharing information to the residents of our programs and being great ambassadors to the community by carrying information to their neighbors. So I get a good amount of inquiries that come to me that get directed to the fire prevention officer. And we did have a block party on Sunset, at the bottom of Sunset, right next to the gate. There's a street called Sunset Terrace, and a lot of the neighbors there are very well informed and connected. So we're trying to increase coordination across Sunset FireWise, which is the largest as far as square footage goes in the community, because it encompasses the cemetery and mausoleum property. So the residents in Sunset FireWise are along Franciscan and up Sunset to the Arlington primarily. So We're working on getting more support in education and outreach for improving vegetation removal and parking in that area, parking awareness. And it has been revealed to both me and the general manager, David Aranda, at that block meeting that the residents there seem to want permanent removal of parking, a permanent restriction of parking along Sunset, because they have a lot of challenges with traffic and access. So that was a good opportunity to hear their concerns and their perspective.
Rodney has a question.
Yeah,
Yes.
so Johnny, we just had this discussion about the key to the cemetery gate. Would that Sunset Firewise group would could we like empower them and make it kind of their if, make sure that there's a key for them to share among each other, and maybe that's a way to solve that problem? What do you think?
Yeah, they have a lot of good insight. I think that needs to be heard from them. They have ideas that might be better improved than just having a key. And I would want to have them articulate their ideas and perspective, since they're probably going to be likely more engaged with that. But yeah, they are aware of the key issue. They don't know who has a key. And I think that we're trying to fi figure out, identify the gap and close the gap.
Chris, could that be part of that group?
What's that?
Mr. Franciscan.
Oh, he's on a Sunset, he's on Franciscan.
It seems to me that having a key and trying to find people who have the keys instead of having locks that have combinations or buttons, there are other ways, these key locks. There's a long way. It's been out there for how long? Be rusted. Has anyone tried it?
I've seen it open. You close that by me, or we can't do that.
But couldn't we change it to
Well,
a
that's a cemetery,
that's a
right?
cemetery.
could we have to write the background for them, and we should be part
Good
of it.
point. Yeah.
Yeah, we wouldn't be worried about
They could change the combination as they see that that is the cemetery. We just get it formal.
Yeah, and that's
Easier though.
well, that's actually a good idea because that's what we do for our emergency prep shed up at the school is the teachers have keys, but there's also a lockbox with a combo that has a key so they can open the other lock. And so that is something that since Aranda is looking into, that's something that we should well, so how do I, Mary, what do you suggest like suggest how do we suggest that to Aranda?
So I'll talk with him and see what, because I know that he initiated contact. I'm not sure what, like I said, what success he had, but I'll give him the suggestions that have come up. And the cemetery may have ideas, especially since there were keys issued in the past and that didn't go so well. So I think there should be some other alternative, like a lockbox or a combination, something else. So I'll give him those ideas.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mary.
Sure.
Our idea.
Good.
Our idea initially when we distributed the keys is because, well, keys and the lock on the keys, that's what the cemetery wants there. Because we dealt with the president of the cemetery. We arranged to be allowed to have access, okay. And that's, and they want that chain, they want that lock, that's the thing. Okay. And the idea that number of people having keys, but you don't know who's going to be home at any given time. Okay. So if you have to have another, other, it's the same thing we're dealing with evacuation and trying to get neighbors that are going to take care of elderly people or disabled people or people without cars. You're trying to get about six neighbors lined up because you don't know who's going to be on the hill that day. You don't know who's going to be available, who's going to be sick, who's going to be. So some, so the likelihood then there'll be one
Well,
person.
that's why I like the idea of a group.
Yeah, that's what I'm
You know.
saying. Because that's we so there have been eight or nine keys distributed initially. Now, either Kevin Payne or what's his name?
Larry.
Larry Nagle would have had the list of the names of the people who received the keys. Now, who was David Aranda here at that time?
We still reached out to Kevin and got information about whom they were originally distributing to. Right?
Who is this?
Lisa? Program?
Oh, oh yeah.
We asked her to at this meeting.
Yeah,
she called him.
Okay.
So
she can call her.
Information about her.
Okay. Call. I'm sorry, I missed. Call who?
Kevin.
Kevin Payne.
Oh, Kevin. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, did they know?
Yeah,
that's
what you did.
Okay,
so I don't know if
we
want to.
So we should just reach out to Lisa.
Or get a combination.
But anything that comes of that, you will need to forward to Mary and or Aranda. So to give them that information, because that's the path we are in process.
And I think it would be a good idea to get all as many names as possible. At least find out was it 8 or 9. Find out the name, please. Because I think the cemetery would be maybe not too happy if there are keys out there and we don't know who we gave them to.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't
just off
that. Yeah. That's my problem. Yeah.
You know, we talk about the concerns about getting people into the cemetery area. My concern is how are we going to get them across the Arlington? We have, where Sunset connects, we have a very, very difficult cross place. We need a signal there in order to stop traffic so people can exit. Because I can tell you, if there's this kind of emergency that we're preparing ourselves for, there's going to be so many people that want to get across, but everybody's going to be wanting to use the Arlington, and they're not going to be able to get across.
Yeah.
So it's time we started looking at how we can signalize that in an emergency, so that every now and then a green light can come on so that people can exit down on Sunset, because otherwise it's just going to be a disaster.
It's the same thing at the bottom, at Colusa and Fairmont. When you exit the cemetery, there's a stoplight there. Okay. Do you think the people coming down Colusa or coming along Fairmont, they're going to say, okay, well, let them merge. And if we don't have somebody, if we don't have it set up with El Cerrito or somebody to turn that light off, so we don't have a red light there. Because if there's a red light and the traffic is stopped at the cemetery, people are going to panic.
Well, considering electricity is going,
but yeah. I mean, this would be both issues for maybe a traffic engineer to give us an analysis. But if we were going to put a new stop signal in there, I believe the county would be the group that would have.
It's the county
problems that we had discussed with the traffic engineers when they were doing their work.
Uh-huh.
That's why I'm bringing them up again. But it should be in the traffic report. Has anybody read the traffic report?
Yeah, many times. Anyway.
Okay, so let's actually, Johnny, again, redirect. Also great ideas, but Johnny needs to finish his report.
Okay. The next one is support Firewise leadership development. Okay, we have 23 Firewise communities now. Is it 20? I'm starting to get confused. So we're still recruiting for more Firewise leads in the areas that we don't have coverage yet. So that's still happening. We're working on getting an email distribution network done. So that way we can more efficiently communicate to all the residents and have the Firewise leads have an ability to add residents into a Firewise distribution list for emails. Sorry if that was convoluted.
Your map really spells it out.
Nice.
On page 17.
No, but item we're planning to call is number 5. I want to make sure I.
Yeah.
Okay, I have something to say about that. But I like about my effort on Lake Drive that relates to that, but I don't want to interrupt. Well, so how about going to national? And then let me say my thing.
Johnny, that was. Did you finish your update?
Oh, I thought somebody was asking a question.
Yeah,
I was waiting.
Paul, did you?
No, I request. Okay, I'm requesting that I be given a chance to comment on goal number 5, but at the end of Johnny's report because he still has 6, 7, 8, 9 to do.
Oh, we're going by topic, right? So if you have a comment on this,
well, okay,
Firewise.
Maybe a few minutes.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point out, and Johnny, Kay, and Dave Spaff, when he was still here, agreed with me that it was okay for me to go ahead. And I grabbed a resident on Lake Drive who happens to be the block captain. And we have this campaign going. We're about ready to start. We've met maybe three, four times already, and we are going to go to everybody, I mean individually on Lake, okay, and talk to them about four or five things. One is, do they really have a go bag ready now? I mean, not tomorrow, now they need to have a few things. I could do it in 15 minutes. None of that crap. I mean, is it ready now? And can you do it now? Do you need help with it? And we are going to supply a list of recommended items, both a short list and a long list, and they can pick from that. I mean, I can't tell somebody exactly what to take. You can't do any of this. Okay, that's one thing. And by the way, all the stuff I'm about to describe, Johnny has covered real nicely in this handout and many others in fact. The only real difference here is that we are going to people one-on-one practically. We have two people to do 37 houses. We think we can do it by roughly the end of July. Okay, to go on, the second thing that we want to know from them is, do they really have a plan? I mean, not just, yeah, we have to discuss this. Have you talked to your kids if you have them? And do you know where you're going to be? How are you going to do this? I mean, that's something you're going to decide the day of, but you really just take 30 minutes or an hour out of your one of your dinners and talk about it and make sure you're on the same page. Okay. The other thing is the parking. Okay. Can you please park off the street if you can? Park on the street. All the rest on red flag days, by the way. And what I do here, and I've mentioned this here before, is a few people like to complain about my spouse or partner. It just is not capable of backing into a driveway. And my argument was not nice. I didn't want to hear it. Well, you do it for them. You have 3 days, 2 days a year. You can't go and park your husband's car over you.
Can I give you an example though?
Sure.
If I back my car into my garage, the driver's side, there's no way to open the door.
Then you can't do it.
I can't do it. So
I mean,
just,
and they're
yeah,
gonna,
I have to recognize there's going to be some exceptions.
and there are going to be people that have four cars and just can't park them in their driveway. And there are going to be exceptions. They're going to have to figure something out. I can't, what can I say? Right? You can't do it.
Yeah.
But when somebody just comes up with flimsy excuses,
if you're front end, you can open the door, but if you back in, you can't. I
right,
mean,
exactly.
having
Because it's
trouble
like
visualizing
there's a it's a
that.
very narrow garage.
Okay.
So there's room on my driver's side, but there's no room on the passenger side. So
Yeah.
Sailor always has to get out.
Got it. So yeah, you park in first garages that are built.
I park in my driveway.
Yeah.
Then I block the sidewalk, and I didn't want to do that.
Okay. There are gonna definitely be issues like that. I get it, but hopefully only a couple. Well, yeah, you'd be one of them. And then I mentioned family planning. I want to just point out that that includes knowing ahead of time who you're going to help that needs help, elderly, physically restricted. That's really important. The two more things in the lab. One is just very obvious, and we've harped on it before this time. I'm going to really try to drive it into people. We're going to make some enemies. I know that. But leave early. Get the hell out of here the day before you know anything. I mean, so early, I don't think there's a word for it. That's what I intend to do. And we're trying to instill this in people because that makes a big difference. And you may remember or not that I have it here, but I. There was an article published in Berkeley Side and referenced in a lot of other places in December of last year about how much more time it takes to get out of environments like this. They were referring specifically to Berkeley Hills. I don't see any difference between us and the Berkeley Hills. Okay. So they pointed out that you just wait 30 minutes to get out, and you're likely to take up to 2 hours by the time you try to do it. And that's kind of obvious, I think. But I also now, just 3, 4 weeks ago, went up to visit a friend, and I didn't know this about them. I knew they lived in this little community called Wildwood Lake or something. It's up near Nevada City in the Sierra Foothills. They had a big fire up there about 3 or 4 years ago, and the fire was threatening the whole community of several thousand people. It's a big community with a lake in it, and where they had their house was a good 3/4 of a mile from the gated entrances. Any of them. They waited, unfortunately. They waited about, I don't know, he said to me, this is just a few weeks ago, I didn't know about that. They waited about 30 minutes or so, or maybe more, and it took them an hour and a half to drive out of this community just to one of the exits where there were bigger growths. That short wait, and more importantly to me, the control group for them was when they talked to their neighbors that lived right near them, who did leave right on time, didn't hesitate, like my friends did. They were out of the community in a matter of 15, 20 minutes, just a regular driving time. It's just so obvious, you know, you want to get out of here early and plan for it, you know. Go ahead. Yeah, one more thing. And then the last thing we're going to emphasize, and this is going to be a checklist given to every resident on Lake, is are you going to, but are you registered for CWS, NCSL, and now especially, I just love Watch Duty. I think that is really a super sub that you can use to educate yourself about where things are happening and whether or not you want to make a move now. So the idea is to go to these people and talk it over with them. Some of them just, I don't think it's going to be many. I think it's going to be incredibly, and I don't know if she remembers doing it, but Annette pointed out to me when I brought this up several months ago that that's a highly inefficient way of doing things. Yeah, but I don't know of any other way right now that's more effective. So it's inefficient, but effective, and I'll take that.
There's something like person-to-person contact.
Yeah, and that's pretty. I mean, I don't like doing it this way, but I also don't like sending out an email that I carefully word and then finding out nobody read it.
We had a Firewise meeting 2 weeks ago, and I mentioned that I was going to pre-evacuate, and I heard a visible whoop. But I think it's so important for people that are working on these issues to talk to the people and tell them what your plan is, which is we're going to get out of here because we know what it's going to be like if we have to. And I also like to point out that before I was a member of this committee, and I came in and just spoke about various things, and I was very concerned about evacuation. I talked about putting a stoplight or a stop sign at that intersection. I'd go for a stoplight. Lisa at that point said it's going to cost $50,000, and no one's going to stop at the light when they're trying to evacuate. Now, I don't know if that's true, and it might be interesting to look at.
You're talking about Sunset.
I'm talking about Sunset. Yeah.
My thought was to put a circle there, but that's
Find
the
right at Sunset because they're already misaligned. And so my thought was maybe have the county put a circle instead. So that way Sunset gets, you know, Arlington and you just go around and whatever you need.
Well, that'd be interesting, but it's on such an angle. So that's kind of a problem.
Sounds very expensive. So,
But that's the county, right?
it's a kind of, you got to get them to do it.
That's a safety issue too.
The Gilman circle's always fun when they got that put in and people still trying to figure out how to do a circle.
Oh, yeah. Last meeting, Joya said that whatever you want to do, let me know and I'll
That's true. We can come to him and,
We've got him on our side now to go to the county.
yeah.
Because I can call
I
him and
mean,
ask him.
I think something like a circle on the Arlington would need to go to the board, and the board would be like, do you want board support for that before you go to the county? It's a big deal.
So the discussion of Sunset and light or circle or whatever, that falls under which work plan goals. So that way, whoever is working on it can bring those ideas back. I'm not seeing anything in particular, maybe earthquake preparedness. I don't know who. Evacuation. Yeah, where is evacuation?
A settler issue.
No.
It's not.
Evacuation.
I'm all by myself. I'm just leadership.
Oh, yeah.
You got Johnny. Johnny's got me, really.
Yeah, so it's kind of number seven, kind of, because that talks about, well, you're right. We don't have, we used to have an evacuation, just one. A work
There was one. You're right.
Because we were looking at vegetation and evacuation routes. I think we just need a broader category of evacuation planning.
Because we did have that. I think we generalized it.
And number seven is kind of it.
Yeah.
And I, if I can interrupt for a second, I
It's
think as
very
far as,
customized.
as far as evacuation planning, I think we had talked about it in prior years and realized that it's really going to be a combination of police and fire efforts. So it's really in the hands of working from a staff perspective and from the chiefs to put together a plan. And then it would be communicated out to the public, but it's really up to them to kind of drive that project along with the general manager.
Like they're going to be managing the evacuation, but I guess what we're doing is we're kind of anticipating, something broader, something, like the infrastructure. How does the infrastructure support the evacuation? Which we would want their input on this because that will strengthen our argument. But we're kind of anticipating what could go wrong, what are improvements we can make. That make sense, Mary?
Yeah, I think so. And I can just check in with David to see what kind of discussions are being had. Because I know at one point they had spoken about potentially what normally happens is maybe a consultant would devise an evacuation plan for a community. And so I'm not sure if they've kind of made any efforts toward that or what the thought is. So I can check in with him when he's back.
Check in for more or less hiring a consultant for emergency for evacuation planning. That's what you're saying?
Yeah, that's my understanding. I'm just not sure if they're still working on it, still proceeding on that path, so I need to check in with them.
Okay. So there are outfits out there that will do assessments and help. Oh yeah, just like Berkeley
Yeah.
did. Berkeley had person that got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay. So that's another thing. All right. Johnny, next up.
We still are getting requests from residents about what FireWise means, and I'm pointing them over to the website kensingtonfirewise.org and encouraging residents to download the certificate of recognition to provide to their insurance companies. We've had a couple people write in by the re recommendation from their FireWise community members saying, hey, go ask about what you need to do to send, because they're getting insurance non-renewals. So I'm pointing people to this website and saying, hey, download this document and send it to your insurance company so that way you can, discuss your options going forward. And that seems to be helping. Somebody was able to extend their coverage. And then one other person was getting the Cal FAIR plan coverage on top of their as a supplement to their insurance company extending their service as well. So that's good. What else was in there? The next thing is LRADs, which I don't have that on my plate. Is there any?
We can do that after you're done with yours.
Okay. Reinforce communities understanding Red Flag Day banners. Okay, so we our subcommittee went around the community, Paul, Katie Gluck, and Kay, and we're looking at placement for the red flag warning banners to be placed on red flag days. So we have enough to cover the perimeter of the community coming into the community, and we're looking at where we can put those aside from just a conceptual, like, oh, this is where it's going to go on this intersection, like where exactly and which parcel is going to be engaged in this, and how are we going to deploy that? Where are we going to store them so that they're accessible? There was conversation prior about putting them behind the public safety building, and that wasn't a feasible option. So right now they're stored right behind Paul in that closet. But it's
Yeah.
locked. It's locked. And it's kind of a tricky situation to even use the key because that lock is kind of a little troublesome. So that's one thing that we have to figure out is how accessible is this going to be to volunteers to place the flags and where they're going to go and the communication program. So that's all in development right now. And we're likely going to need more because the corridor of Westminster, Kenyon, and Purdue are now being targeted as a an official red flag parking restricted area, and there may be need for more focus and awareness on that corridor for parking and red flag warnings. So we're likely going to need to order more. That report will come to you for recommendation soon.
Yeah.
Any
Yeah.
questions?
Can you mention, I think it's important about, it wasn't me, it was either Katie or Kay, had the idea that we might use volunteers that are willing to let, to put the flags or the banners on their property to also keep the flags so that there's no, we don't want, it's going to be hard to find somebody to get in their car, run up here, open the slot, and get it by the flag. Get it, but if they're keeping the flags and they're going to post it on their property, wow, that would really help.
Yeah. And it doesn't hurt to ask.
And yeah, I whoever brought that up, it wasn't me, I can figure things like that. That was a really good idea.
Well, so I put one of the red flags in my garden. I think I
Yes.
sent you the picture. I've been in probably one of the windiest places in Kensington. It has performed well. It's been there 3 weeks, hasn't moved. So the way that we were looking about putting them onto existing posts. But what you do is you put it in the ground and then it swivels. And that's part of the reason it hasn't blown up. And so my feeling is that we do this on private property and we give them the flag and they hammer it into the ground and they leave it there. And then if it's red flag, they come out and they put the flag, and that's all it takes. So you don't have to come down here. You have it in your garage. You tell your neighbor you've done this. So in case you're not home and there's red flag, you just it's very easy.
In fact, that's even a good selling point when we approach the people who didn't have it.
Oh, they would not do that.
All you'll have to do is put it right in the seat.
Yeah.
And
For us, yes, she likes it too. And that's brilliant.
I mean, I think this will really help. These red flags, they're big. You can't not notice them. They'll be new for one thing. It's not like a used car dealer, you're putting up different dollars for a used car in a slot. It should work. And I know John is planning, and we have planned on trying to post these initially on the entrances to Kensington. That's the they start with the perimeter for people.
And of course, they will notice because they're not going to be the only going to be up on their flag day
That's
to
right.
call that off. So, yeah.
Well, is there an option to like install kind of like a station where the Kensington Community Center sign is, so that way like put a hole there or some sort of where you can just stick a flag in, and they'd be okay with that? Have you guys looked
Well, that's
through
what Dave's talking about.
that?
You put the foundation part in there, and you leave it there, and then somebody from I can never remember the name, that store right on the corner. Used to be a drug store. That's cool. You and that guy or the woman that owns this store or the or Andrew that works at it's a manager of the restaurant down there. He can do it. I can't speak for him, but there are people that I will find somebody. Maybe even the gas station people will open everything and so forth. It's doable. We just have
Well, also, there was discussion of police staff. Mary, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, the county's going to have flip signs that have to go on the ends of the streets that would be subject to the red flag parking restrictions. And so there's going to be official county signs that have to go. And I think that Kensington has to figure out staff to have those signs flipped.
Oh, okay.
Right, Mary? Do you remember?
Yes, that's correct.
So there will be some staff doing official signage. The question is how much, and the police have volunteer staff too. So I mean that could be something that we discuss and request from the general manager. So possibility there. Have something else?
Not about this.
Johnny, are you? No, you've got quick preparedness stuff, right?
There's still more on this war
Oh, yes,
plan.
keep going. Sorry.
Let me see. There is earthquake preparedness. So I have attached, I consolidated different goals from everybody into one document. I guess we're discussing it later or now.
I mean, you're part of, you're doing your stuff, so you can, I'm fine with that.
Okay, so if anybody has anything in there that is missed, or we need to identify a gap, there's some, well, it kind of overlaps with what's going on with CERT. So there's it's going to be a lot of moving pieces before it kind of gels into something. So with CERT coming on board, and there still being legacy CERT activity within the Kensington community, and then the just all, like I said, all these different moving pieces, I think there's going to it'll start to solidify. So this is a really good starting point that has the ideas there, and we're going to build on it from that. So those of you that are in the subcommittee will start meeting soon, hopefully after the stuff in the grant programs all kind of dies down, so I can start focusing on this other stuff.
Yeah.
And then CERT program. So we just had the block party, or not the block party, the potluck kickoff last week, which was it was pretty good. We had a really good showing of both El Cerrito and Kensington there. We had a lot of signups for the upcoming fall course. Rachel, how many do we have now? Is it over 24?
Yeah, I think there's like 25 or so.
Okay. There was There's typically a cap at 30, but I'm advising that we continue to get names and participation anyway, so that way we can build essentially like a waiting list, or we build our contacts regardless, because there's a lot of opportunities for people to participate even if they're not going to be sitting in that class of 30. So yeah, and that class starts at the beginning of October, and it will be held in the Kensington Community Center. And then I did attend the block event for earthquake preparedness that was hosted by Laura, in on Richardson. Laura, do you want to do a little recap of why it's called Richard Marlowe?
Okay, so Richard Marlowe is a kind of combination of several streets. So Richardson, Martin Gardens, which is my little lane, and then Willow. So they all kind of intersect into one. And you usually pass by a Stratford or Coventry. It's kind of linked between those two. Of course, it's lower Kensington, below Arlington. And so we kind of matched the name together, I think. And the block leader that was kind of overseeing CERT, I guess, efforts kind of dubbed that name. And that name stuck. And I believe K6 group, that is the CERT group that meets for Kensington specifically, or I've been inducted into as the new CERT leader for our block leader for my group. They've kind of agreed to that particular name. Now they have a list of several different people who are block leaders kind of adjacent. There isn't really one on the lower Coventry side, but I already have 26 houses. So I don't think I want to add more. But the block party, I decided to kind of like revisit what's been done. So there was a lot of stuff done already with the Map Your Neighborhood and the 9 steps, and just, reintroduce myself. We have some new people that have moved into the area. We had some guests in the neighborhood as well. So it was an opportunity for everyone to meet again and like remember the steps that we've already talked about. I had them do a checklist of preparedness just to audit what they were already doing and have an idea where they stand already. And I'd say a good half of them are pretty well prepared, or at least to a certain extent, not to the fullest extent. I also use that opportunity to get them to know about the water drum program that I believe has been put out. Another member of Kensington off the Arlington had a little demo and gave us the information, so I spread that information to my group and bought drums myself. And then we made it a theme party, so it was like bubbles and polka. And I was like, what is that? I was all, imagine Lawrence Welk. So I just was like, I had a bubble machine, and the little kids in the neighborhood came over and played a little bit. And a drumming show, which was great. It was lovely to have a support and be there and talk to our neighbors as well. And so, yeah, I think 50% of my neighbors were able to make it. And the rest I made sure got hand put together documents, because I printed out like folders of what to do for each thing, including emergency whistles. So everybody got something.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it was. I really liked. I really liked. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
The water barrels.
Yeah, there is. I forgot the name of the program. It starts with an L.
La Mirinda.
They have a water barrel program where they actually have water barrels that you can purchase, and kind of has like a system, and they're stackable. I think they're 2.5 gallons each.
Yeah.
And if you think about the water needs,
it's not really barrels.
Yeah,
they do have barrels too.
Yeah.
Is Chris Hilliard still available for those things?
I don't. Is Chris Hilliard still doing that or not?
We'll get an update from CERT on any future sales. I don't think we have an update right now.
5 years. La Mirinda Community Emergency Response Team website.
Yeah, they have different sizes, and they're stackable.
Yeah, that's where I got my video.
You agree?
I've got the 55 gallon drone.
So as soon as we found out, we got ours. So and it comes with like how to like spigot them and also clean them with bleach and stuff like that. So it was really great. So
I got to do an event here in Kensington. Is it actual? They actually come and will show you what they have and let people buy.
I think they want, like, they want it to, like, they want to provide the product, but they want us to take responsibility for transport.
So the person that did it was interested in it, wanted to share the information with his neighborhood, invited everyone to come. And so I came and I'm spreading the word. And then I know that supplies are kind of a little low, is what they were saying, but hoping to get that going. But yeah, that would be like a nice thing.
Yeah, we can do a fire extinguisher, you know, water.
Water.
Yes.
And then there was another question.
Oh, Johnny had something.
Laura had prepared these really cool character archetypes that were based on either films or TV shows that, you know, characters that we were familiar with and their personalities. And it broke it out to like, this is the type of person you want to be. You don't want to be or not want to be. So it was really good way to relate onto what type of behaviors are admirable in a preparedness and disaster scenario. And I appreciated that. It was a fresh take. I haven't seen that before. And I think that would be great for us to kind of share around this table at a future meeting, so you can kind of see what that looked like. Cause I thought it was really interesting, and it drew me into reading more about, you know, the information instead of it just being the typical dry preparedness information. It was really actually compelling. So I thought that was good.
The reason why I did that is because when you think about when you get to that part of the gathering, once you've secured your household, then shut off your appliances and stuff, well, what do? Well, you come together as a community, right? So then what? And a lot of people don't know what to do because everything's so very traumatic and very upsetting. And so I wanted to speak towards like, what are your strengths, right? So we have in that back your neighborhood, four teams that are supposed to be parceled out. You have someone who's a communication person. You have someone who is the valve shutoff person to go around the route, right? The golden hour route. There's another person to check up on the neighbors, make sure everyone's good. There's another team that does medical care if they have any kind of like preparedness training or medical background. So I asked ChatGPT to create archetypes of these and the kind of characteristics of each. So I did it with Star Trek first. And I
Nice.
asked, for each team, create an archetype. And so the first one was, who's a communicator? Spock, and then, on to the next, like, pressure asked for original Star Trek and second, next generation. Yeah. And then what not to be is a Borg or not to be a Khan, and kind of the egocentric person that harbors down and doesn't want to contribute or help their universe. So it was fun. And I did it for Star Trek. I did it for Lord of the Rings. I did it for, was it reality show people for Housewives and one for baseball? Because I figured those are other genres that people might
You want to be
relate
Buster
to.
Posey?
Yes. And so I asked my neighbors to like pick a genre that they identify with and then find which of these archetypes they might really know that they could be in a situation. And then when we team together, we're going to be like, are you a Spock? Are you a Captain Kirk? Like find out where your team
Don't be
is.
a dodger.
Yeah, don't be a Gollum. That's it. Very nice. That's awesome. Yeah, that was fun. But thank you, Johnny. I appreciate your support and coming out on Saturday. And it was fun. It was good to see the neighbors and a lot of things came from it, like happy hours to continue and like other connections. We're gonna do a neighborhood catch. And one of my neighbors are already trying to throw money at me to create that, which is kind of cool.
Cash,
A cash
like it's a policy. Yeah.
supplies, yes,
Okay.
for the neighborhood.
Johnny, how specifically are you? I mean, you were out supporting Laura, which is awesome. How else are we supporting CERC aside from, hosting these get-together parties? Are we helping them with boundaries, or is that are we letting them develop on their own? Or
It's so with CERT, we're dealing with kind of multiple complex things right now. So when I'm, let me just take a step back. So there's the legacy Kensington CERT activities that Laura just kind of detailed about her engagement on their block. There's the K6 engagement that happens along Coventry in K Reed's organized group. Those are, I think, really the only two active things that I know about. And I think there may be something above the Arlington that happens pretty infrequently. So there's the legacy K6 stuff that's kind of happening in the background. There's also the organization El Cerrito Kensington CERT, which is being established, and that there's a steering committee of El Cerrito and Kensington residents that are helping to organize that nonprofit organization. And Laura has been going to a couple of those meetings.
I'm part of the CERC committee.
So we have to figure out what kind of definitions those are going forward, because it's going to be very confusing. There's, like I said, the stuff that happens in the background from the historical aspect of Kensington is still kind of happening in spots. But what we're probably going to look more towards is figuring out what our priorities are within this committee that relays towards supporting or interfacing with El Cerrito Kensington CERT, the organization, and then providing those touch points within the community. So it's kind of messy right now, because I think there's undefined expectations from the community standpoint. So I'm helping to relay information between all these organizations right now, trying to put people in touch with others and put resources and also promote things to the community, so that way things are moving forward. And that's what we've seen in the past with the water sale and extinguisher sale, or the water storage and extinguisher sale. I would promote those activities, I would promote the class signups to the community. And that was the same with this potluck meetup, was promoting that event so that we can facilitate the signups and facilitate those interactions so we can move forward. So that's kind of where I am right now, where I think this committee is going to be helpful is establishing our historical expectations and providing that to El Cerrito Kensington CERT, so they have the direction that they need to form an organization that's going to benefit both El Cerrito and Kensington residents equally. I know that
Thank
was
you.
really wordy. I'm sorry. I wish I had a better way of saying that.
You wrote some of that out, but I just wanted, I know I needed to hear it. So that was, sorry, selfish. But okay. Where are we? Any other CERT updates?
End of report.
End of your report. Okay. Any more of your updates or?
I guess the next Kensington El Cerrito CERT meeting is June 18th with the steering committee. And I think with the potluck, there was some questions about, what is this? It was like John had mentioned, initiative to get people to talk together and start the momentum of CERT again, where it kind of dissipated before. And that collaborative, diverse group kind of brought into one, and hopefully we can integrate a lot of the historical knowledge and awesome experience that the community has, build in some of the priorities from both Kensington and El Cerrito, and make that mutual aid connection, because there are a lot of CERT folks that have kind of dwindled in El Cerrito area. There's a lot of people that are interested. I want that same ambition for Kensington. And now I'm not the only Kensington person that is part of the steering committee. I think there's another person named Richardson. Is anybody not sure?
Rich Rosenthal.
Okay. So thank you, Johnny. So if there's anything that you guys have questions about that you'd like me to bring in, because we're starting the foundations. Not like we have operational understanding and complete formation of everything yet. We want that information. There's been a lot of outreach to people in the community to get information of what happened before, what can we do to make this really work. So if you guys have anything for me to bring, I would love to bring that to the table.
Katie had some items that I have, I'll be sending on Word. So that way, Katie, you know that I'm sending that forward. All of your Katie, the feedback that you've had in prior that you've shared in email, I'm sending that to El Cerrito Kensington CERT
Oh,
so it can be considered.
okay. I don't remember what it is, but okay.
You've
Well, thank
shared
you.
things.
Okay.
I keep them.
Oh, well, okay. Use your discretion. I trust you.
Thank you. Thank you.
okay. I said we go back to the LRAD discussion, and I wanted to, well, so. You were so basically Katie's been part of this email notification system where if there's grants that come up for to support the installation of LRADs, then she is notified. And so she forwarded one to me. I didn't really look at it, right? But I forwarded it to Aranda and Mary, and they looked into it, but there were some issues with us to be able to use that grant. Mary, can you run me through again? Because I'm sorry, I this happened a little while ago. Do you remember?
Let me think. So I recall the being forwarded a new grant opportunity related to them, but I think if I recall the response, unless there was something that I missed, we don't, it has to be established as a project first, and we don't have that, because you have to have that information entered as part of, applying for a grant. So we don't have like a board approved project to be able to apply. We wouldn't know the amount, and I think you have to, have a budget for the number of devices, et cetera. We don't have any of that information. So applying for a grant. We just wouldn't have enough information, and we don't have a board-approved project that we could apply for.
Does the board need to have a discussion about that?
The last discussion was that it was going to be part of
Strategic planning.
strategic planning,
Right.
and we were waiting for a new general manager, and then I think
Right.
that's the holding point currently that I'm aware of.
Okay. So we have that hurdle to get over. I'll just say my personal position is, I'm eager to see this move forward. I've seen Berkeley's doing it. So, when we get the GM and we do the strategic planning, I will definitely be going to bat for that.
Okay, so that's where we're at. But I mean, go ahead.
No, just that we have to update our information. That's one thing that we need to do. We can talk about all that now that we've heard that from Mary. We can handle it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right, this question. Okay. We do have one other item, but did we get through all of our work there? I just want to look really quick. There was one thing I wanted to mention regarding earthquake preparedness. I'm sorry, this is a little out of order, but there was, I forwarded, I think almost everyone, I'm sorry, I didn't have your emails, the new fault paint mapping for that Hayward fault. And that is something that the state puts out. And basically, even though there's new mapping and new fault mapping, basically what is the regulations are owned, it's only the zones that are matter for that publication. So I should have.
Got to hear it.
Oh yeah. So, but interestingly, so the engineering geologist Carla, who did this, she has mapped the fault. In some cases, she's retained some of the traces that run through.
Do you want me to share it?
Oh, sure. I mean,
Maybe everyone can give you guys a sense of it. Is that
yeah.
that's it?
Yeah.
Can you all
So
see that?
that's basically you're looking at a yellow zone, and that is the Aguas Priolas zone. So it applies only to family resident or multi-unit developments. It does not apply to single family residences. So if you're doing renovations to your house, this does not apply to you. It only applies to parcels where you're putting in more three or more single family units, and it also applies to potential new like essential facility buildings like a police station. So, but it doesn't mean you can't, yeah, or another public safety building. Basically, what it says is it doesn't say you can't build. It just is that you have to do a site-specific study to make sure that any building you put anywhere is does not fall on a trace of an active fault. So just interestingly, this is just a good way for, even though it doesn't really apply to us as, individuals, it's actually good for people to see like where the fault traces are, because that's where there's going to be displacement, where there's most likely going to be displacement there. So, and if there's displacement, it could be, a step, a foot, like the road could actually, not just move horizontally, but it could maybe step down a little bit too. And so in that case, we're gonna have issues getting cars over, unless you want to launch your car off of a 1 foot step after like trying to leave Kensington. So there's just gonna be damage associated. And it could be damage associated with any, all, or maybe one of those strands. So just kind of keep that in mind.
Are we on it right now?
No, it's actually it's downhill. So
Anyway.
yeah, you're no. I don't know anyone. Actually, it's not true. I do know a house that is
I'm good at launching my bike.
but doesn't matter. The key here is not to scare people, but to make them aware that there are going to be some transportation difficulties where the pipes are going to break along those areas, but those are distribution. It's not like something really big and scary like San Bruno. We don't have any of those up here so far that I know. But anyway, just get your eyes on it and see what like where the faults are. And they're part of earthquake emergency preparedness. You know, there's also earthquake-induced landslides, and so and there's a lot of landslides in our community. You know, like all of the cemetery, Franciscan, Anson has sand. Has you can actually see on Anson, you can see the curbs actually displacing because the one part is moving down versus the other. And you notice if you drive on Anson, it's always bumpy in a certain part. That's the landslide boundary.
It'll go up near if you happen to be people that are on the hill. Check your retaining walls, see what those have been doing.
Yeah, and I mean, there's like soil motion generally that's kind of slow and it kind of shrinks well, but there's also like literal larger landslides in Kensington. And if there's an earthquake and those go, then basically it's not going to be like a
High neighbor,
So just something to consider for our emergency preparedness or earthquake subcommittee, that not only the effects of the earthquake, not only preparing, but understanding the effects that of the earthquake through our community and also the earthquake-induced landslides. The only place who has the earthquake-induced liquefaction is W off of what's the one? Oh, no, it's not yours. It goes like this. It's right by the yoga or not yoga.
So on off the circle, so you come down Berkeley Park,
Yeah,
you're
it's on the other side. It's so
oh.
if you go to Calusa Market, it's one street south of Calusa Market. That
Ocean View.
Ocean View. Yeah.
Because
That part, that yeah, the part that
what's
goes
it going to
on,
do? It's going to liquefy?
it could look like
Oh,
there's underground streams that run through there.
Yes, that's
My
what's causing all
father-in-law's
those
house, she has a
problems.
water block there and a big stream in her backyard.
Who's house?
Martin, you know Martin? No.
Yeah, so there's just
A lot of water.
to be aware of that kind of stuff. And that's something that the committee wants. I want the committee to start, like, thinking of ways to bring it to people's attention about these types of hazards. And for sure, too, that's preparation for sure.
Part of the thing I brought up into my folder was when you are displaced from your own house because your house is no longer safe, what do you do about that? What does that look like?
Oh, that's great.
So.
That could be, I don't even want to think of like, not the Loma Prieta, but it was the,
Six.
no, it was 90.
Oh, the one in
Southern California.
L.A.
I can't believe I'm
North?
Northridge. Thank you.
Northridge.
I should know. I mean, I do, but
That's a business trip.
anyway, yeah, a lot of the houses on the hills, they had soft stories or they had like piers, posts on a pier, and because of the type of motion and the shaking, a lot of the houses on the hills were lost. So that's where you want to renovate. So we should all anyway, that's it for my little extra thing there. It's 5:30, so I want us to get to the last thing, which is discuss and provide recommendation to the board on the rebranding of the fire club. So basically, we've had the fire district had this twice a year newsletter that's called the Fire Plug. And it offered, I don't know if you ever got, I mean, actually, I didn't get it this last spring, but it offered you information about being wildfire aware and ready and just emergency preparedness type stuff. And now that the fire district is now part of the community services district, the idea was that we should suggest to the board to rebrand it. As more of an emergency preparedness type newsletter with a new name. And so I want this committee to give the board a recommendation on the rebranding of that. So ideas.
What's the criticism about it being called the firefly? Why is that not a great theme for it?
We call
All fire.
it's all fire
Oh, I see.
And so we will. I think that if we're going to rebrand it, and we're going to be, it's going to be more of like an emergency preparedness, earthquake. You know, I mean, this is emergency preparedness. So you want, you know, places it to talk about CERT. You wanted to talk about firewise. You wanted to talk, give you information on all kinds of emergency preparedness. You know, another pandemic preparedness. I don't know. I mean, I will never forget when a Kensington resident came to the EPC meetings right before COVID and said, "What is Kensington going to do?" And
she was very unhappy.
She was unhappy that basically she was told. Basically, she was told that there was nothing that we could do.
Are you talking about just changing the name, the content, the size of it, the, how often it's distributed? Because the last fire plug that I got was very thin. And it was twice as large 6 months before.
How did you feel about that? Is
not
that
good?
Okay, so that's exactly
time,
what I want to include.
Okay, so at a time when we are worried about fire and every other emergency that could possibly COVID, shouldn't be reducing our exposure. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be doing less. Now, is it a cost concern?
Well, actually, I don't know. I mean, the district has always put it out, and you know, I guess in historically, Johnny has been taken it over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who did it before.
It was a combination of different contributors before, I believe. At least that's what it seemed like when I first got on board in 2021. There was some board members, some committee members participating in content creation. And over the last couple of years, it's shifted from just announcements and reminders more towards kind of giving people something to latch onto that they, like the community can be really proud of. And that's really important to relay those narratives to the community, especially when we're depending on so many volunteer efforts to accomplish what needs to be done in the community. And it's kind of a shift that needs to happen, not only just in this community, but I think societally. I don't know if everyone's seen some of the articles that kind of float around about how difficult, constrained the fire departments are because of staffing, because of budget constraints. And I've seen a huge shift in this community specifically towards, you know, volunteer efforts and just, you know, people being informed of what's being published in the community and being empowered to participate. And this community needs that level of engagement, people being empowered to take ownership of their blocks and their households and using the information that we have available to them that they can you know, make progress overall. So that's been the shift in the publication. And you can see that being from, you know, small little paragraph towards something that's really immersive and imaginative that really impresses upon someone's willingness to participate.
Go ahead.
Thank you for that, Johnny. And I agree with you. Well, the power plug was always nice to get in the mail. I'm going back, you know, in time. And it was just, it was more or less like helpful hints, things that, you know, just to remind you about such and, you know, and that was nice, but it was nothing really, you know, heavy, getting down to the nitty gritty of things. But now things are changing. And if we can get down to the nitty gritty and scare people a little bit, but then right after you scare them, tell them what they can do about it. Not just frightening people. It's just it's scaring them into action, giving them attainable goals. You know, nothing Herculean. I think that would be exceptional, and it would get the conversation going between neighbors too. I think if they need
it. Right. Yeah, so I had written down a couple recommendations of things to kind of frame progress of a rebranding effort, at least to provide some definitions that didn't exist before. Because like I said, a lot of... Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry, I think I turned my microphone off momentarily. So there was an evolution that was kind of just happening because I identified some some needs to relay certain information to the community, but it wasn't ever formalized. And I think it's important to recognize that we have to formalize the intent of the publication instead of just being on a whim. And then it just, the purpose of it is to inform, but aside from informing, what could we do? We could change habits. We could, garner a lot more support in the community for a lot of the initiatives that need to happen for the community, and garner a sense of pride. It's more than just it, providing information. And I think if we take the extra step, we can see a lot more progress. So I like I said, some of the things like naming of the publication, determining the budget constraints for the publication, so that's in the forefront, and we know what that publication would look like if we know what the budget is. The print and distribution cadence, do we keep it to 2 times a year? Can it be flexible if we need it to, as long as the budget is met? The objective of the publication, who are the contributors, the required components of every publication, and the components that would make the community eligible for grants. That's really important, because a lot of the grants that are out there have requirements that if you have a publication that goes out to every household, that is a requirement to receive this grant fund. So those are just a couple of the aspects that I put down that we can bring into a subcommittee. So the question is, do we keep this within the community and outreach, or what? Mary, what would you recommend how to proceed with this?
So as far as what did you just say you're trying to figure out, should the committee talk about it?
As far as just outlining some of the structure, so it's more formalized to present to
Yeah.
the board.
So I think if you want to kind of set, just like you listed the criteria that you're kind of thinking, the parameters, the basic parameters, if you want to put that together and include that as a recommendation to the board, and then they could formalize, discuss, and formalize if they agree with all of those components.
So is that so? I know I have ideas, and then everyone else I imagine has ideas too. And so, can we, Johnny, do you think you can collect? Well, actually, Mary, would it be appropriate for Johnny to collect all of our input for our recommendation for the publication, and then we finalize it at our next meeting? Is that the right way to do things?
Yeah, and you might include David and I in that, because the budget constraints, I mean, just as far as kind of determining what that would be, and then the distribution of it, those components we should be aware of. And yeah, so I think compiling it, just keep the three of us in the loop in that.
One,
Keep three of them in the loop.
oh
Yeah.
yeah. Okay, so we should we I mean, yeah, or
I can put a prompt out, and then
yeah,
every
that's a good
what
idea.
I'll do is I'll BCC everybody, and then
Yeah.
you can reply back to it, which will only come to me. So that way it's not going to create a chaos flurry of everyone's emails. And
Yeah.
then I'll consolidate that, and then I'll pass it back to everybody again.
Okay, that works for me. Does that work for everybody? Okay, so get your opinions. I have some. Get your opinions in, and then we'll get that, and then that's an agenda item for next month too, right?
Yeah.
Finalizing our recommendation of the board for the rebranding of Chicago. So. Same thing, but just finalizing. Okay. So, any other topics?
Good, a couple of
Oh, wait, let
yeah.
me ask it. Are we done with this agenda item? Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I want to go into the details too, but we got to get moving. Okay. Done? Okay. And then, okay, future agenda items. And then we'll do a final wrap up. Future agenda items I have for is a discussion on school evacuation concerns. And I don't know, Paul, if you want to structure that, or I can say, why don't you and I work on structuring that that discussion item, so that way I can help with that, and then we'll get that to Mary, and then we'll have a discussion. And then the other one is finalizing our recommendation from the board after everyone gives input it to Johnny, and then he will spit that back out to us. Johnny, thank you.
Say that again.
Oh, so the two future agenda items, in addition to our work plan stuff, is the school evacuation concerns and the finalizing of the EPC's recommendation for the rebranding of the fire.
Okay.
Any others am I missing?
That's all I heard.
Okay. All right. Wrapping up real quick.
So two things. I'm going to need to miss the next meeting. I'm going to be out of town. I'll just for that. I did want to say that we had a meeting of the East Bay Wildfire Coalition of Governments yesterday, and it's a very interesting meeting. I recommend that folks can connect on either go in person or connect on Zoom. But the key thing that they talked about that I think I'm going to bring it up with the GM and a director comment at the board meeting is concerned about July 4th. Fireworks and the possibility that that could ignite a fire.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the other cities are doing things. Their police and fire are working together to really kind of, you know, figure out where people are setting up fireworks, particularly up in the hills.
Yeah,
and be ready to crack down on that.
Berkeley's been
Berkeley's things like blocked off areas where people go on hungers and people. Yeah, so I don't know if we need to do stuff, but or maybe we just need to make sure people understand. Everyone knows they're illegal, but they need to understand they're illegal. They're extremely hazardous, and the liability that you would incur if your firework resulted in a fire could be ruinous to you.
But do you think it's okay to walk the trails in the park?
The walking paths, or
yeah.
I don't think you can really close. You could.
Well, they did during COVID. Yeah. Gavin Newsom saying, "Don't go to the park."
Oh, you're talking about the park. Like,
you're talking about the trails because that's where people would go, right? I mean, that's.
I thought you meant the Kensington paths.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean the park, the Tilden paths.
Yeah. Seems, yeah, I don't know what the East Bay Regional Park District is.
Their jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. And it's tough.
So. Right, but they would not fly them.
They know that.
So anyway, I'm going to raise that and just see what GM says. And then I'm assuming from him it'll go to the two chiefs.
They talk about different things at that meeting. So this is probably the third meeting that once they did, right? Lab this past again, and it's pretty well run, but they canceled several. So you said next month they're not having
one in June, they're gonna have one in July.
And then Mary had something,
yeah. So, typically in Kensington, do they put up a sign, kind of one of those road signs saying that fireworks are illegal around that time? I know in my community they're illegal, and that's what we do.
I don't know if we have done that, but it's the sort of thing we should consider.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll talk to David. I'm not sure if we've done that in the past, but it doesn't hurt.
We could put up some kind of sign that would say fireworks are illegal.
Yeah.
You know, strictly prohibited or something.
It's one of those lit up road signs.
We could use the KIC sign for that, but maybe we want something in addition.
Happy July 4th. Don't even think about it.
Let's do it. But that's why.
I mean, the other thing would be, I'd be happy to write a letter to the Outlook, just briefly saying.
Yeah.
Just we'll see that July 1st.
Something too that I know I hear a lot of the fireworks And I'm always like, oh my gosh, where is it? But it's actually down in the black
It's
canvas.
canvas sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, because there's like an echo. You can hear everything from like Richmond Annex and like
Right.
yeah.
And everything, yeah. It
Yeah.
has that sound that
Yeah.
comes up. And
Quite
yeah,
large.
but as a veteran, I hear the fireworks and I'm always like, yeah, what is that? Okay, that's the fireworks, yeah.
Yeah, the sound does carry, but I mean, as far as like getting the signs and police, you know, the people that are sending all the fireworks, they already know they're illegal. They're buying the black market, so that's kind of a hint that I know it's illegal.
Just letting them know, like, we're
Their
watching.
friends have lost their hands. You know, they know it's dangerous, so it's preaching to the choir. But you know, but, I mean, let's do it
Oh,
anyway.
like a neighborhood watch, something suggesting a neighborhood
Well,
habitat.
the neighbors. If you hear fireworks in your neighborhood, immediately call the police or call, you
Yeah.
know, notify someone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like that idea.
Good for me.
Does that need to be a future agenda item? Or should we roll
Okay.
that into something else? Or Mary's already going to start looking into the signage.
Yeah, I would suspect that if I mention it to David, the chiefs have already thought of something. I mean, yeah, I'll check with it, but I don't think we really need to have an item because it'll be June 28th, which is right before the 4th, right?
Oh, that's a
So.
good point. So, okay. All right. Any last comments? I've got about 4 minutes and then I have room for another meeting.
I can't be the only person in Kensington that's outraged that we had all our streets redone and now they're coming in and every 20 feet digging holes because they're redoing the sewer lines and go, oh.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that was happening, but
It's happening and it's
Yep.
And they're not advising us. I mean, I know are they done on your end of Purdue?
I'm on Grizzly Peak, but they're coming.
They're coming.
Yeah.
Oh.
They hadn't done that before.
I think it's
No, they had to wait until we paved the street. And
it's awful.
But yeah,
And it's not
the
changing.
peach of you coming.
But also,
And I'm wondering, is that
East Bay Mud
is the old county
Yeah,
operation?
it's redoing a lot.
Will not
East
stand.
Bay Mud, like its
Yeah,
own
I think it's
thing.
the Eastern Mud thing.
Wait,
Okay.
so and we have an elected group representative, or how are they managed?
East Bay Mud, we have a representative.
So that's
They have
okay.
like little districts, I thought.
So there's East Bay Mud and then there's here or
There's also the sewer district,
no, that's Steech. There we
Steege,
go.
yeah.
I think it
They're
is
good. Steech would be Steech.
Yeah. Is it
I don't think it would be,
Steech?
it's
Yeah.
super.
Oh, well. So also your sewer line has to be replaced when you like it
Inside
either
your house.
yeah inside your house.
Yeah.
So
I received something from East Bay Mud indicating that if I, and I called them to say I'd like to do this, if I go ahead and have my new sewer line connected so that, you know, it goes from my home down to the line, which if you were going to mention, it's something that you have to do when you sell your home.
Yeah.
If you do it now, it will be at much less cost than if you do it then. So
Yeah.
it's something that if they're going to be working in your neighborhood, you should take advantage of. I've already put myself on it. And
You
Do
have
they
done it.
say?
I've had
Do
we
they
did
have
ours
a
when we moved in.
We did ours when we had an
They
emergency.
give us
Oh,
buckets.
they haven't given me the
Oh,
price yet, but
no.
they said it would
No.
be a
No.
lot less
It's
than if
much
you.
less of the less than what. Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that
Yeah,
it's
it's so
street.
frustrating. It's frustrating.
It would just
And
be.
they're not advising people. So coming down here just now, so Kenyon was blocked off, Purdue and Kenyon, you couldn't go through. But they're not telling people that. So you're going down my favorite street, Willamette. And so when I was coming here, I left early, but I had to go and then back up twice.
Down
So
Willamette.
down
No.
Willamette, because the people coming
Oh,
up
yeah.
and the people coming in.
Yeah.
But
Oh,
I would think
that's.
that the county or someone could advise people who are going to be impacted by
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not county. It's
Well, this would have been stage.
speech. Yeah.
Stage.
So maybe that's something we can request of Mary to.
So the we're not they're not under our purview, so they should be notifying public. And I think if you see anything going on, it would be a matter of contacting them. We don't really have any authority over them.
No, I know we don't have the authority, but I don't know if it's we can if public service for our GMs to like reach out and be like, hey, let us know what's going on.
I can pass that along to David.
Okay. But I guess the best way is for us as public members to contact Stage and be like, hey.
Yeah. Well, the county did it too when they redid our roads.
Yeah, but that information ended up coming through the police.
Yeah.
Like, because Aranda had, didn't he have it posted on the police page?
So I think they received some notification from the county. That was from the county, right?
Yeah, when they did the streets.
Yeah, they received some notification from the county. I don't think it was well in advance, but they received some notification.
Okay, and they put that signage up everywhere. It was inaccurate.
Oh, yeah, it was terrible. It was terrible. Okay, this meeting is adjourned at 5:50 on May 28th. Next meeting will be June 25th, 2026. We'll see you then. Thank you. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you.
Bye. Yeah.